Hello, and welcome to episode 186 of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, read about, write about, amongst other things, video games. So tonight, I'm joined by two of our NYMG regulars. Jordan Lukomsky and
hello.
Hey, and Alicia Carabinas.
Hello.
Hey, y'all. So let's start out by you guys telling us who you are. Jordan, who are you?
I'm currently a master's student at Purdue University, where I'm hopefully working on my last semester of thesis. And I, too, play games, read about games, write about games.
Games all the time.
Games.
And some games are nightmares and not dreams. Just saying.
Well, we're not going to talk about that yet.
That is coming.
Boy, it is.
Alicia Carabinas, who are you, darling?
I'm a PhD student, PhD candidate, I guess, at Purdue University in rhetoric. But I also write about, read about, think about, dream about, and holler a lot about games.
Yeah.
Especially real bad games.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that happens. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right. So tonight we're going to start with our usual what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. And then we're going to talk about a game that we've been playing. Thanks to Alicia. All right. I just want to throw that out there as often as possible so we won't forget whose fault this is.
Okay. So, fair.
All right. So, what are you guys playing? Jordan, what about you? What you playing?
I'm playing the game that we're going to be talking about. And sadly, that's all I played this week.
I'm so sorry.
it's okay. I won't be playing it after this. So, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, I guess.
Oh.
But I definitely will be playing new stuff next week. I just was mostly focusing on thesis things, so that's partially why. But I won't say anything about the game because we're talking about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, what about you, darling?
Well, I had my triumphant, and I do mean triumphant, return to real Mafia games, not the fun GIF Mafia. Played my first real game in a while, and won as Mafia, mm-hmm. which I hate being. And let me tell you something, it was hard, because I hadn't played in months, and then to come back and get assigned to the Mafia team was a nightmare. I don't think I breathed out for like a week. I think I just held my breath and sweated a lot for about a week. So there was that. I played some Roterra. I tried to play the Anthem demo, but I was one of the people that it didn't work for. Like, it would just crash nonstop. And I went back to some Stardew Valley, where I have approximately 1/50th of the hours that Sam does.
So, the Anthem demo, did you play it the second day?
Yeah, we tried every day on my account and
really?
On Terry's account, yeah. Sometimes we could, like, walk around, but sometimes we couldn't even do that.
Sometimes we could walk around.
Wow. That is so weird.
Now, I know a couple of people who had real bad problems with it, and then some other people who had no problems at all. So, I don't know. That's, you know, those one of those mystifying tech support problems, because they're like, I don't know, unplug it in, plug it back in, because who knows?
Wow. So, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's pretty salty.
Well, the open demo starts tomorrow. Maybe you'll be able to get into that one. there'll be an update to the demo, and you'll be able to play it tomorrow. You can try it and see what that happens.
Does open demo just mean like everybody?
Everybody, yeah. Everybody will be able to play during the open demo. And as long as since you were able to log in, even though you weren't able to play, you'll get like a ton of they're giving like extra vinyls, all four javelins, all kinds of stuff to folks who weren't able or who played during the VIP demo because there were so many problems. So there's that.
Well, that's cool, at least.
Yeah, there's that. There you go. So that's what you're playing, right? So me, I did play the Anthem demo. And now I can talk about it because I've had played Anthem before because I was in the alpha, but NDA, I can't talk about that. And I still can't talk about that. But the VIP demo, it was fraught at the beginning, right, with issues. But you know what? What do we expect, right? Because it's, you know, several hundred thousand people trying to log in all at the same time for a demo. The gameplay itself is really fun. I did not, there's certain parts of it I didn't get to play. Like I didn't get to play the free play mode, what is essentially the raid mode because the rubber banding was so bad. I'll put it this way. Any rubber banding is bad for me because I get easily motion sick. So if you're rubber banded, it's going to make me nauseous. So I didn't get to play those because there was rubber banding, period. And as soon as you start rubber banding, my world starts spinning. So yeah, I'm going to take the zero on that this week. Maybe they'll fix that by next week.
Is that where it glitches and you like are forward and then you end up backwards?
Yep. Yeah. So I didn't get to play those portions, but maybe I'll get to play them this weekend with the open demo. And the funny part is I thought I was going to roll Colossus, with the javelin that I choose because you know, that's your tank, right? And you know, I like the Leroy Jenkins things. Mm-hmm. I do. But I don't think I am going to roll Colossus because the first javelin that you open is the Ranger. Which is still damage, but not, you know, doesn't have as much defense. And it just moves better. It moves more smoothly, more fluidly. It's not this big honking tank. Cause I think with this game, I might want to move, more than I would with the Colossus. So I'm looking forward to playing the demo this weekend. And I'm really looking forward to this game launching. And I think a lot of people are concerned because the demo they start you at level 10 and you get to play 5 levels. That's what it was last weekend. And there's really no real story going on. So people aren't sure what's going on in the demo. But that's intentional, right? But I think folks have to give it a chance. That's all I can say. I think folks have to give it a chance because I'm dying to play this game at launch, and I'm gonna play a whole lot of this game at launch. This Anthem is gonna be my Destiny, not my Destiny 2, but it's gonna be my Destiny.
I really wanted to try it because I remember I was very enchanted by it when it first debuted. I was like, that looks great. And then as time went on, I was like, I don't know, maybe. But now I don't know, so I just want to try it. I was so disappointed. Mm-hmm. Because I could really like it.
Yeah.
But I might hate it.
Yeah, it's going to... Oh, I'm sorry. And people keep saying, it looks like Destiny. It's not... It doesn't play like Destiny. Doesn't even look like Destiny, so I don't know where they get... You know, people like to say... People like to draw connections. They're like, it's people in suits in space. If it's not Halo, it must be Destiny.
say, that looks a lot different.
Yeah, totally different. Totally and completely different. To me, it plays like Mass Effect. Y'all know.
We know.
Y'all know.
Everyone knows.
I got an unnatural love for Mass
Everyone
Effect.
Everyone knows.
Which is why I think Anthem is going to be my jam. I think that's going to be my jam. So anyway, I played that. I also played Roterra.
Wait, real fast. Is the open demo free?
Yes, it is. It is, it is.
And they have faith in it if they're doing that. They, yeah. They've got some faith.
Yeah, and it starts at, I think, 9 a.m. Pacific time on Friday. Mm-hmm. Friday the, what is it, tomorrow the 31st?
Yes, because it's the day after my birthday.
No, oh, yeah, right. It is your birthday.
Yes, so we're going to have a short podcast. Go, go, go.
I know, okay. So, yeah, so February 1st, Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when it starts. I also played Roterra. I wrote about it this week, so you have to check that one out. It is near and dear to my heart. It feels a lot like Monument Valley. It's got all this other stuff going on in terms of, you know, being based on an epic poem that has, you know, an interesting storyline. But so check that out. Check out the post. I also played, because we're going fast because it's Alicia's birthday, so she doesn't want to be podcasting all night. I also played a Kilo puzzle platformer called Samsara, and I played it on Switch. I was like, what did I play it on? I played it on Switch, which, actually it is, it works with reflections. So you have to place blocks, and have them be reflected on whichever side you need to have it reflected on. And it starts out where you're just the avatar who has to go on like the real world side. But, as you go through, say 20 or so puzzles, then you get a reflected self. So you have to move both of them at the same time and it becomes more difficult. If you like puzzle games, I highly recommend that one. I did get a code for that one. So I have to say that so that folks know. But of course, that does not affect, y'all know me, does not affect what I say about a game, because I have gotten codes for games before and been like, this is a steaming pile of garbage. But this one was not. It was a whole lot of fun. I love puzzle. I've had this thing about puzzle platformers lately. And that was a good one. And then the other game that I played this week was, I'm trying to go fast. I'm sorry, Alicia.
You're fine.
Is a game called Smoke and Sacrifice that has actually been out. When did that game come out? It's been out for a little bit. But it just came out on the Switch. And I think that's what I played it on because, you know, my mind is bad. So, but it's interesting because it's about a, you play a character named Sashi, who lives in a village and she gives up her child for sacrifice, to save the village. Cause otherwise the sun, quote unquote, sun goes out, and everybody would die. And the first thing I thought to myself when I was playing this game is one, like the mechanic is good. The gameplay is solid. The narrative for me is a little iffy because, you know, y'all could tell me the sun gonna go out if I don't sacrifice my child. I'll be like, y'all know what? Y'all better bundle up and enjoy your last hours cause y'all about to die. I am not sacrificing my child. So she sacrifices her child. And then like 7 years later, she figures out, something's not right. So she goes looking for her child. And so she has to fight in the underworld her way through to try to find, her child. The game, like I said, the game is solid. And I had to go back and look after the fact because I was trying to be open-minded. Cause I was like, clearly, I don't know if there's any parents working on this game, because somebody would have said, y'all sorry, but y'all gonna die. And I don't know that the folks, nobody mentioned having children, but they are, all the developers on the game were male presenting, so I don't know. I was like, why are they making a mother sacrificing her child? Because, yeah, that wouldn't have happened. But it's a really solid RPG. It can be brutally hard, but not brutally hard in the frustrating, I never want to play this again way. And the graphics really remind me of Don't Starve in a lot of ways.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But it's a little more, not a little, it is a little more colorful. But I truly suggest you check it out. I enjoyed playing it a lot. And it's something that I'm probably going to go back to fairly frequently. Yeah, just because I like it. I like the gameplay. So, and I like games that challenge me. All right. And Alicia, I think you would, because of your love for Don't Starve, I think you would probably like this one. So it might be something.
I do love Don't Starve.
Yeah, because there's a lot of the same kind of mechanics. There's a lot of the collection, put things together, make sure you keep your lamp on. So think Don't Starve with more of a story and more RPG elements, because you also have to keep your lantern on so that, you know, the baddies, the bad smoke monsters don't come. It's just like the madness in Don't Starve. So think of Don't Starve with a more discreet and explicit narrative. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think you would really dig it. So you should check it out. It's also on Xbox One, Steam, Switch. I think that might be it. I can't remember if it's on PS4. I would have to go look. But yeah, you might definitely want to just at least look at it and see what you see.
Yeah.
Put it on your wish list if nothing else. okay, so that there was that, and I'm sorry, I had to do that. And I, of course, I got a code for that one too, so have to say that. And then last but not least, I played the game that we're going to talk about tonight. Mm-hmm. We were calling it, it appears to be Yik, but it is not, it is Y.
No, it's Y2K.
It's Y2K, yeah.
I'm calling it Yikes.
I'm calling it Yikes. Yikes is Yik. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. We're definitely going to talk about that as well. So that's what I'm playing. Reading. Who's reading what? Interesting. Jordan, what about you?
Took a break kind of from reading like novels and stuff and fantasy and science fiction to mostly focus on think aloud papers and environmental storytelling papers and narratives.
Gotcha. All right. Alicia, what about you? What you reading, darling?
Well, I just finished reading a collection called Computer Games and Technical Communication, Critical Methods. do you want to tell our audience why I'm laughing?
So I walked into my office suite the other day. And Alicia was like, look what I picked up. And I was like, and she showed me the cover of the book. And I was like, oh, she was like, why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, why didn't I tell you what? She was like, why didn't you tell me you had an article in this collection? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't tell you everything I published everywhere.
But I specifically, I was looking for stuff on this because of the ongoing mafia research I'm doing with my co-author, and also trying to find ways to take my dissertation research and see where I can overlap it with TechCom. So I picked up this book because that's what it's all about, games and technical communication. I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. I keep skipping it because it's not available in the library or anywhere else, so I'll just buy it. And it arrives at my door, and I open it up, and I'm like, I bet Samantha has extra copies somewhere. Could have just passed one over.
No, I didn't have extra. I have one copy. They said, because when it first came out, it was only in hardback, and it was like $8,000.
Yeah. When I first looked it up, it was, Amazon had it for like $160, and I was all, oh, this is why I don't own this book.
Yeah, they only sent us one copy. Yeah.
I went to the publisher's website, and they had paperback for $40, and I was like, all right, I can...
Yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah, no, they only sent us one copy. They were like, you get one. Enjoy that one, yeah.
Guard it with your life. But it has been really helpful for several of the projects that I've been working on. So that's good.
You know how I am, Alicia. People ask me all the time, it's like, oh, you wrote blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did I? Or you said blah, blah. See, yep. Once I write stuff, it is totally and completely gone. It leaves my head. And the funny thing is I have to tell this story real quick, is thanks to Alicia and the fact that she knows Rivers Solomon. We read her book in our Mixer book group, right? And mm-hmm. And so she came to our book group and talked with us about the book. And somebody asked a very specific question. They were like, well, so-and-so or, you know, this gets said in the book. And then she said, who said that? And I was like, wait, do you do that too? And she was like, what? And I was like, you write something and once you write it, it's totally gone. And she was like, oh yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm glad I'm not losing my mind. I'm not the only person who does that. Yeah. Once I write something, I totally don't remember it. I remember nothing about 90% of the things I've published. People could take my name off of it. Don't anybody try this. They could take my name off of it, put their name on it, and I would not know the difference. I would pick that up and be like, wow, that's really smart. I think that too. And would not ever know.
This is why you need me around, because I remember everything.
I remember. You know what? If you wrote it and I read it, I would totally remember exactly where it came from. But it's something about my own stuff that I just don't remember. I think it's a coping mechanism.
Oh. No, I have a really weird system where I file like articles and stuff in my Google Drive that I'm using for my ongoing projects. And the way I find them is I will search for like the weirdest associative thing. I'll be like, oh, there's this one sentence where they say this. So I'm gonna search for that. That's how I'm gonna find it.
Yep.
Because I can't remember like the title. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I can do that with other people's stuff. Can't do it with my own. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. But yeah, so that's what I just finished reading. So.
Well, sweet.
Thanks for that, Sam.
Well, I'm sorry. Actually, I've been sick for like the last week. It wasn't like the flu. It was just like some weird... like weirdly mild but also basically debilitating bug. It sounds weird. So it was like headache. I thought it was a head cold when it first started. I was like, oh, it's just a little head cold, and like stuffy nose and just tired and a little achy. But like for like 4 days straight, I slept like 12 to 14 hours. And if y'all know my sleeping habits, it usually takes me a week to get that much sleep. But like for 4 days straight, I was sleeping like 12 to 14 hours. And I was like, maybe I'm dying. I get real paranoid sometimes when I get sick, which is why I don't like to get sick, right? I'm like, maybe it's something horrible. But then P came down with it, and she had the same symptoms. And I was a little queasy, but it wasn't. But P got pukey with it. So I don't know what the heck it was.
There were some people talking about something going around, but I'm glad I didn't get it.
Yeah, it was not good. And I'm still kind of bouncing back from it. So every night about like 7 o'clock, 7:30, I'm just sitting around going, can I go to bed? Cause I'm really tired. So yeah, I'm still bouncing back from it. But I find if I take a nap at like 7 o'clock or 7:30, I can like stay up till like a normal time and then go to bed. But yeah, so I don't know what the heck it is. Whatever it is, I don't want it again because it's made me like really unproductive. It's made me really unproductive because I don't have that extra, you know, 7-8 hours in a day that I would normally be up, you know, past 7 o'clock working, right? Because I do the bulk of my work at night. And right now it's like I'm in bed sleep when I'm usually working. So that sucks. But anyway. So I haven't been reading. All that to say is I haven't been reading like fiction this week, for the last week or so, but I've been just reading stuff for class, which we're reading the Queer Game Studies Anthology in my Games and Diversity class. And it's actually called Queer Game Studies. That's the name of the anthology. And, The Gamer's Brain by Cecilia Holden. And I think we were talking about that. Yeah. During the last podcast, because I'm taking them through that like step by step slowly, to get them associated with kind of cognitive theory and user experience. So we had a whole discussion about attention today. Which was fun because we did it virtually because, you know, even though university thought it was okay to reopen a day when it was negative 10 with wind chills of like negative 40, I was not thinking it was okay to go back to work.
Yeah, we went. It was real cold.
Yeah, no. And because I got a bum knee, so I walk slow too. So I'd have been frozen by the time I got to the building.
I mean, I had a 5-year-old with me. That was slow. And there was a distinct feeling when you pass down into the underground, into the tunnels. Because if you don't know anything about Purdue, we have a weird amount of tunnels on campus. There used to be more. And some of them look like murder holes. there is one over under Young that definitely could be the setting for a horror film. Anyway, it's the minute you pass down into one of the tunnels, it felt like everything dropped like 20 degrees.
And
you
would just feel you're underground. Instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
so, and then, she didn't want to go fast. And then she was complaining, everything was so far, my legs are going to fall off. But we made it. We made it. She said her nostrils were cold.
I'm sure they were. She probably had frozen nose hairs.
Yeah, I know.
Aw. See, that's why you don't take that baby outside.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Then we came home and, you know.
And then, well, because we had those frost. I don't know if you heard them over where you are, but because we had all that rain, because we had like all that snow like a week or so ago. And then like it was around for a couple of days and then it got warm, it hit like 40 degrees and started raining. So like 8 inches of snow melted because it rained on it. So you had all the water from 8 inches of snow plus all the rain. And that's why we had all the flood warnings. And then the temperatures dropped to, what was it, like negative 17 with wind chills of like negative 51. So we started having frost quakes.
Yeah.
And I literally, not last night, night before last, thought all my windows in my house were shattering because the frost quakes were so bad. You could just hear like water literally exploding underground or ice exploding underground. And it sounded like all my windows were shattering. I kept going around the house, like checking my windows. And I was like, what the hell is that noise? And then it finally occurred to me that it was the frost quakes.
That's really scary. They were
really bad that night. I was like, I'm never going to be able to go to sleep. Cause every time I would try to go to sleep, I would hear another one. And I would be sure that it was just so cold that my windows were shattering. But no, I wasn't needed with frost quakes.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Yep. And they're in, and it never, because they don't happen very often. So when you do get them and you hear them, it just kind of throws you off because you forget they exist. Because it's like some Siberia type shit that you're like, what is that? Yeah. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. So we had, and then, so Alicia, you forgot to tell this. Your heat went out that night.
My heat did go out that night, the night that it was 17 below. Yep.
Yeah, so you texted me and I hadn't noticed. I was streaming, which is why I didn't notice that you had texted me. And then and then I looked over at my phone and I was like, who's texting me? Everybody knows I'm streaming. And I looked and I immediately texted you back because I was like, bring those babies over here, right? And you didn't answer me. And I was like, why isn't she answering? And I was like on stream. I was like, wait, my friend just texted me and said her heat went out. And I'm trying to get her to text me back so she can bring her kids over.
No, it went, because I was worried that it was going to get bad, because, you know, that this house, like, the doors and the windows leak, there's almost no insulation, but it never dropped below, like, 55. We did have two little heaters going, okay, which helped, and my son's bedroom is the warmest room in the house. It's, like, right in the middle of everything, so we just put some extra blankets on him. Pickle's room, though, got, like, down to freezing. It was so cold in there.
Oh, yeah.
But we just brought her into our room, and she was a little heater, so I was fine. But any part of my body that emerged from under the covers during the night woke me up, because it was cold.
Yeah, yeah. Because we, excuse me.
Because, yeah, like, my foot was sticking out at one point, and it woke me up, and I had socks on.
Oh, see?
It was cold.
You should have just come over here. I mean, and even we had heat, and I double comforted the bed, and I don't put a space heater in P's room because she just got too many dolls,
yep,
and
stuffed animals,
and I'm like, yep, all that stuff is just going to combust. And plus she swears it's hot, it's always hot in there. So, but. Oddly enough, she always in the winter time, like halfway through the night, she'll come and get in my bed and be like, it's cold. I'm like, well, you know, if you like stop closing the vents in your room, it won't get cold in there at night. But it's sweltering hot in there during the day if you leave the vents open, because it directly faces the sun. Her room, the windows in her room directly face the sun, and it just heats it up like a little sauna. But so she came in my room, and I had two comforters, a kid, and a cat in my room.
and a cat,
right? Because the cat was like, well, she coming in, I'm coming in, because, you know, there's a space heater on in here, and I want to sleep right in front of it. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for her to like stick her nose in and burn it off, but anyway. So yeah, so it was pretty cold that night. That's why I was concerned, and I was like, I'm guessing she's all right, because, you know, I'm guessing she probably went to sleep. I was mad because I was texting you.
I'm sorry.
You can't text me and say you ain't got no heat when it's that cold and not answer me.
Well, the only thing we could do once we realized we couldn't just fix it is go to bed. Do you know what happened? There is a pump in the attic that pumps any kind of water out of it to keep it from flooding, and that froze. It was literally too cold for my heater.
Wow. Yeah.
Too cold for the heat to come on.
Yeah. It's funny. I've seen several people that I know on Facebook who said that during the polar vortex, like their furnaces or their heaters just gave up the ghost. See, if my furnace go out, I'm fighting somebody, because I just had that furnace fixed last winter, because it went out last winter, and I'm fighting somebody. But it's been on the struggle bus to keep up. And if y'all hear the furnace, I apologize. I'm telling y'all this now. I told this to Jordan and Alicia when we started. I was like, usually when we start podcasting, I turn the furnace off until we're done. I was like, but it's just too damn cold. I would be frozen by the time we were finished. So
if y'all hear Peggle, I don't apologize.
I'm going to fight you. You were on social media talking about how many hours you had on Peggle and the fact that they had all taken place while you were podcasting.
I mean, I would guess at least half of them. I was really sad when Peggle would not start up this past week. I thought, I was like, what am I going to do with my life? It's what I turn on when I need to kill like 5 minutes of time or when I am doing this, you know, and I need to do something else with my hands. And it didn't work for like 2 days.
What happened?
I don't know. I just had to reinstall it and then it was fine. I got excited for a second. I thought maybe it will delete my save and I'll have to redo all my high scores. Like, I was anticipating this prospect. But then it didn't. And I thought, well, that's okay, because now I just have to go back to trying to beat my high score.
I was like, because you know you can just delete those, right?
I could, but I'm not going to. But if it just happened, that would be okay.
Well, so you've been talking about the five, I got 5 minutes. So the I've got 5 minutes game I've been playing, games I've been playing lately are one, Roterra, because like I said, that game is so fun to me. It's the Escher-esque puzzles where you have to, like, it's like Monument Valley, right? But more colorful. The music is really good in that game. You hooked me up with this one, in terms of telling me about it, Polytopia.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to put that in my list. We have been playing so much Polytopia because my husband and I have been playing it multiplayer too.
What's Polytopia?
Oh, it's like it's like a Civ Revolution kind of game, like a Civilization Lite.
But you get 30 okay. turns.
Yep. With the main game mode, you play 30 turns and you try to get the most points you can get in those 30 turns.
So, and the funny thing is when I first started playing this game, the very first game I played, it's like, I just like went through and wiped out entire civilizations. And I was like, I don't believe Alicia made me get this game. This stuff, this makes no sense. It's too easy, right? And the next like world I rolled, I had like people all around me. And I was like, well, I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm just going to roll on through. Nope. They wiped my ass out.
The worst is when you start like on an island and you have like 2 squares of land and then you just sit there for like 15 turns until you can sail away. It is so frustrating, and I try not to leave a game, but I did leave one game finally. I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, it's fun though. It is.
It's really fun. It's racist as can be.
It is.
It's so bad.
Oh my god! Right. So I was looking at that. So they give you. Ooh. I think you when you start the game, I think you have like one civilization open.
No, there's like three. It gives you like three.
So let's see. I gotta pull this up.
Yeah.
So there's
so bad.
Yeah, there's like yep. I think there no. There's four. There's four, right?
Okay.
And then you start getting to the other ones. Oh my god.
And some of them. Okay, so like a couple of them are sort of
nondescript, innocent,
right? Like the one that's basically like Robin Hood and the Merry Men in Sherwood Forest that start with archery. Hoodrick or something.
Hoodrick, yeah. Right. Yeah. But then they just say, you know what, let's see how fucking racist we can be. Right? Then they got the Kiku, right? That are supposed to be like Native Americans and they straight up got feathers in their headband.
They do.
They were like, we got the Zibasi, who are supposed to be African, I'm assuming, and they straight up got like animal heads and skins on their heads. And I mean, this shit is just, I was looking at this and I was like, ooh. Yeah, this fucked up. And oh my god, it's bad.
I had been playing Kingdoms and Castles. That was when I was on a tear with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I need something like this on my phone that I can just play and mess around with. So I pulled up a list of like city builders and strategy games, and it was on the list, and I thought, well, I'll just get it and see. And that first time I opened it, I just thought, oof. I think y'all took some shortcuts here that maybe you shouldn't have taken. But then I played one, and it's just really charming in terms of gameplay. That I was like, damn it. This is exactly what I want for my phone, but Y'all should have, I don't know, called your black friend or something.
Should have called your black friend. You should have called your native friend. You should have
damn.
You should have called your, you know, your Middle Eastern friend, because they got Middle Eastern.
You know what? Look, I'm going to petition for this to be the name of the podcast episode, Call Your Black Friend. Because if y'all, okay, and I mean all of y'all developers who are cishet white guys, who work with cishet white guys.
Yeah.
Can y'all, if you won't, like, hire diversely for whatever reason that you tell yourself is a good one, can y'all just call your black friend?
No. No.
And then pay them, take them out to dinner or something, but at least, like, get some eyeballs on some of this shit, you know? Like, do something, because y'all fucking up.
Yeah. Call some parents so you know that all y'all gonna die if they gotta sacrifice their children, because parents ain't gonna sacrifice their children. Not, like, parents that are non-abusive and... in any good state of mind, ain't gonna sacrifice their children. I ain't sacrificing mine to save nobody. I have always said it, in the zombie apocalypse, I'm gonna slay every zombie I possibly can. But if my child get bit in turn, I'm feeding your ass to her. I'm sorry.
Oh, so you're that guy.
I'm that guy. Yes.
Note to self, do not hang out with Samantha come the apocalypse.
Cause I'm that guy.
I'm not down with the zombie child chained up in the basement.
Yup.
But yes, just call somebody who does not look like you and say, let me give you a consultant fee to at least look at this.
Yes.
And you will be saved from so many mistakes.
I mean, but we got to do the what you're drinking, but but call your black friend is a good segue into what we got to talk about tonight.
Yes.
So
call all your friends.
Call your friends. So before we go into our game tonight, what you drinking, Jordan? What you drinking tonight, darling?
I'm drinking a red blend wine that was aged in whiskey barrels.
Oh.
All right. How is it?
It's pretty good. It's not as, like, strong tasting in terms of, like, the wine as previous red blends I've had. But you can definitely taste the whiskey age in there. It's very small, but mm-hmm. it's very tasty.
That's nice. I usually like other alcohols that are, or, you know, other alcohols that are aged in whiskey barrels. Like, beers aged in whiskey barrels tend to be really good. And that, I bet that red is amazing. I love red wine. I can't drink red wine. It's just the migraines. Like, I look at a red wine, smell it too hard, and my head start hurting.
Have you seen those, like, things that you can put at the top of wine bottles that sift out the things that cause hangovers and headaches?
The tannins, yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
You can also just try a pinch of baking soda.
In what?
In the wine?
In the wine. It works with tea.
To do what?
It neutralizes the tannins.
I was like, well, I want to put some baking soda in my wine.
No, I'm serious. This is how you get really smooth, sweet tea, is you put a little bit of baking soda in it, and it takes away the bitterness.
Okay, so I understand that would probably work for some people, but I actually add, I don't use tea bags, because mm-hmm. I like my tea super sweet. I mean, it's super, super strong, so I use loose tea, because I like mine extra strong, so it would probably be the, not that I like it bitter, but I like to taste my tea. All so right. I don't know if that would work.
Well, I have an exciting new beverage this evening also.
Okay, let's tell us about it.
So, you know that I am a big fan of whiskey ginger.
Yes. Whiskey ginger is the bomb, though.
But I've stopped drinking soda, so even ginger ale now to me is like super strong. If I have a drink of it, I'm like, wah! Because, you know, once you've cut out soda for like a month, if you get like a whiff of soda, It should knock you out.
Hmm.
But I found this brand. It's called, like, Dry, and it's dry sparkling soda, but they have a ginger, and it's really strong on the ginger, but not on the soda. So it's really full-bodied for being, like, basically a flavored sparkling water. Mm-hmm. So I have mixed that with my bourbon, and that is now my go-to mixer of choice.
So, is it you can't drink the soda or the ginger ales because you think they're too sweet or too gingery?
It's too syrupy, too, like, thick and strong. But this just has a nice, rich ginger flavor without, like, the soda flavor.
Okay. See, because I like ginger beers.
Right.
And I really like the Fever Tree ginger beer, the light one. The Fever Tree light ginger beer is what I like. Because it's not, the light part doesn't come from artificial sweetener, but it's literally just got half the sugar.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which, you know, I love. But it's a Fever Tree light, the ginger beer. Not the ginger ale. They have a ginger ale.
I usually buy ginger beer, so I don't really think about that very often. But this is the first ginger ale that I've bought that takes away the soda aspect, but just gives you a nice sparkling water with a super heavy ginger flavor. It's really good. You should try it.
Okay. What's it called again?
Dry sparkling soda.
I mean, what's the brand?
Dry. That's what it's called. Dry.
Where you get that at?
Payless.
Let me write this down. I'm like,
I literally mean, it's dry. Probably is cheap, the brand.
It's probably cheaper than the Fever Tree.
I don't know. It was not.
The Fever Tree is those little tiny bottles, right? So those little 4 ounce bottles.
I know what
bottles.
You're talking about. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you get six of them for like. You get four of them for like $6 or $7.
Okay, this is cheaper then. And it's good. I was surprised.
Okay. I'm going to write this down. Y'all, we're like, okay, hold on. All right.
I've never had ginger beer. Is it like a lighter or a darker beer?
It's not beer at all.
It's not beer. It's like root beer, but ginger.
And it's got a stronger ginger flavor than ginger ale, because I think ginger ale is just pretty weak.
Yeah, it is. And this maintains that like sharpness, that full body flavor of just ginger.
Yeah. And ginger is, and I like. Excuse me, I like the light, because ginger. Has a natural sweetness that doesn't come from sugar, but just comes from the flavor of the ginger. So you can go with less sugar in a ginger ale. I mean, in a ginger ale, if you put enough ginger in it. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that's what you're drinking. I am, because like I said, I'm still bouncing back from whatever plague we caught. Am not drinking alcohol, because otherwise I would already be asleep sitting right here podcasting. I am drinking a ginger peach sparkling water.
Acceptable.
Yeah, it's good. It's the... What is it? The Simply Balanced Ginger Peach Sparkling Water. No sugar, no nothing, just ginger and peach essence and some sparkling water. It's yummy. It's really strong. I like strong sparkling water. Just like with my sparkling water maker thing. I always like double the bubbles because I like it. So that's what I'm drinking.
Well, let's talk about this game.
Yes. So, Alicia, since this was your idea, tell us about this game. What is this game?
All right. So, we played Y2K, a postmodern RPG, because we were kind of casting around for a topic. I'm like, oh, what can we do? What can we do fast? Because we had some ideas for long-term stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said, well, this game is getting some, let's call it negative attention for a few specific reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play it. Let's see what we think. And here, I'll just go ahead and front load the big thing. 6 years ago today, in fact, on the day that we're recording, a young woman was reported missing in California. Mm-hmm. And her name was Elisa Lamb. She was found dead some 20 days later. Floating in a cistern on the rooftop of a hotel in California. It's been really well-researched, well-followed, kind of urban legend-y, unsolved death. It's been used as inspiration for a few television shows or whatever, which we'll talk about because I have some feelings about this, but it's also... this game was written about a lot because it uses that story. What I did not realize is that that story is like the inciting incident for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what drives Alex, the protagonist, to go forth and try to be a hero. He's going to save this girl. Elisa Lamb was mentally ill. She reportedly had a grave fear of being taken by someone, something, or whatever, and that is precisely what happens in the beginning of this game.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just use that as the stage setting for the discussion that follows.
So, yes. So I think it's interesting, like you say, this is a Lamb's story is one that we have seen a lot lately, because I started playing the game, and I was like, I remember the story. I remember when they found her body, mm-hmm. right? Because she was found in the basically in the hotel's water supply. And the only reason that they, I apologize in advance, y'all, is that people started to complain that the water tasted funny.
Yeah.
And I remember that, right? I remember them finding her, because I remember everybody that they were looking for her, that she was missing, and then they found her, and that's how they found her. And I was like, I was like, I know this is in this game, but I've seen this, and I don't watch television. Y'all know this, right? I was like, but I've seen this in like a movie or a TV show or something. So correct me if I'm wrong. How to Get Away with Murder.
I believe was one of the ones that.
Is one of the ones that used that, right? Mm-hmm. So the husband, the main character's husband's college-aged mistress was found, I think it was on top of the frat house, though, or top of the sorority house and not on top of a hotel, in the water tank on the top of the building. And I was like, I never put those two together. In terms of thinking about that, so I did mean to cut you off, but it started to like click for me that this is something we have seen before, and it was really weird to me that I remembered seeing it in a television show when I don't watch TV.
All right, well, here's the thing, okay? Because I want to start the conversation with this, and then we'll maybe we can. shelve it and come back. But here's the thing about Castle was one of the other shows that did it. How to Get Away with Murder, I think, and I believe there was one other.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of these shows is something that deals with, in fact, crime, murder.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been like a CSI. And all of these, when you sit down to watch that show, you know that they are often ripped from the headlines, or they use like real things as inspiration.
Yes.
Y2K markets itself as like a quirky JRPG inspired, surreal, weird experience. Mm-hmm. So you get the sense that it's just going to be like a wacky adventure in which some sort of weird theme is going to fold in on itself because it's quote unquote postmodern. Mm-hmm. What you don't expect, mm-hmm. and like the social compact of the game, which is not the same as like Castle or How to Get Away with Murder or anything else, is that you're going to have to experience firsthand in the elevator with her,
mm-hmm.
what may have driven this girl to die.
Yes.
Or caused her death.
Yes.
And this is also not like, you know, they use the Black Dahlia, say, in L.A. Noir or whatever. This is not like decades ago. This is 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
People are still seeking closure from this. And then the devs are like, well, you know, it was a way for us to deal with our own tragedies in our lives. And we were really fascinated with this death. Yeah, you know who else probably is? Her family.
Right.
And I understand that there's like a really robust Reddit community that deals with this, and Tumblr community that is like searching for clues on her website, and that was very well reported in a long form essay, in fact, that I will send you for the show notes. But that's different from like, let's use this to send this basic ass white man on a hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
So he can fucking find himself.
Yes. Because, you know, he's newly graduated from college, but he's coming home, doesn't have a job. He's got to figure out what he's going to do, right? And this is his hero's journey. This is his coming of age, right? This is his pilgrimage, right, into manhood, in many ways. And I'm tired of those stories being written on the backs of women, people of color, those who are mentally ill, those who are othered in some way.
And the game comments on it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I just like pointing out another incident, because we talked about how you have to experience this in the elevator with her. And it is a low-poly style-esque game.
Mm-hmm.
Has some 2D elements, but also the fact that it's depicted in a very certainly graphic way, even for a lower poly game.
Yeah.
That was not necessary.
No, and I mean, it's exact. There's, if you've seen any of the footage from the elevator.
Yes.
That's like the last footage of her, you cannot mistake it. The developers kind of like use her name as inspiration, but they change her ethnicity for reasons. I don't know. I guess because whatever, Asian is Asian, right? Jesus. And at one point the game comments on this, right? Another character in the game is like, you're just trying to be a white knight to save the exotic Asian girl. And that, to me, still doesn't redeem the fact that this woman who died 6 years ago is just fridged in the beginning of this game so that this dude can, like,
mm-hmm.
have a spiritual journey.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Devs out there, call somebody before you do this shit and be like, hey, I wanna... And get some feedback.
Yeah, I mean, there is, you can easily see, because when we started talking about this, I went back, when we first started talking about doing this game, I went back and I watched the video. There is available even like on YouTube, right,
mm-hmm.
of the elevator surveillance footage of like the last time she was quote unquote seen, right, because mm-hmm. the cameras see her. and you get that scene in the game, but they put the protagonist in the elevator with her, right? And that is problematic to me for so many reasons. I mean, and so yeah, like you said, we get the Black Dahlia and L.A. Noir. We get, you know, other games that play upon kind of older mysteries. But this is too recent, right? Like you said, it was today, 6 years ago. 6 years ago today is when this is the last time this woman was seen. That hashtag too soon, right? Because yeah. I can guarantee you that no parent has not the parents ever moved past the disappearance and death of a child. But this is fresh.
Yeah.
Right? This is fresh. Because they're still trying to figure out, you know, they're still trying to figure out what happened. Like you say, she was found in the water tank on top of this hotel. But there are still questions about whether or not she could have actually gotten in there by herself. There are still questions of, I mean, because when you watch the footage, she is mentally ill, but she appears to be having a conversation with someone or talking to someone or looking at or for someone.
There's just a lot of questions.
There's a lot of questions still
unanswered. But that's okay, because Y2K has answered them for us, right? It turns out she was talking to this dude.
She was talking to this dude, and it was the aliens who did it. Right. Which is also problematic for a number of reasons.
The entities.
But what resonates for me is that this game has done this. We've talked about this before, right? It is what happens when people go in colorblind and not paying any attention. Sorry. And not paying any attention and try to rip things from the headlines in order to make themselves edgy. I'm going to use that word on purpose. It is what we get in Detroit Become Human. Mm-hmm. It is what we got with Deus Ex, the last Deus Ex.
Oh.
Or with Augs Lives Matter. It is what we get with any game that attempts to take from an oppressed group and kind of sloganize them or trivialize their plight in such a way to make them fodder for their game.
Yep.
And that is just kind of what I kept coming back to in my head when I was playing this game. And they trivialize her mental illness, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because the protagonist is constantly saying stuff like, she's so strange, she's so weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things are going on, because she's like, I live here. She's talking about being in the factory, right? And he's like, well, nobody lives here. It's like, and she'll say things and disagree with him in such a way that she'll be like, he's basically like, well, she must be crazy. And that too is problematic.
Yeah, I have lots of notes about their conversation.
Yes. And I think that's a problem. I mean, that in and of itself, I mean, and that's like the first quote unquote chapter of the game.
Yeah.
And then we have the subsequent chapters.
And I know that that Jordan was taking notes there too.
Yes.
On that, did you take many notes during your conversation?
Not specifically on the conversation. It was mostly on like quotes throughout the game that related to really subtle hints of racism or sexism.
Oh God. Yes.
The Elisa Lam case and just depictions of certain or responses to people having a certain mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like when he first goes and he has that email on his computer.
Yes.
And his whole mental, like, conversation is, it's probably porn. Let me think about all the girls I knew in high school who might be doing porn. Oh, I don't know. They were all too ugly to do porn.
Yes.
Yes. I actually have the exact quote written down from yes. that, and it's, maybe a girl from my high school was now into adult videos and was doing some particularly unladylike things.
Yes.
Yeah. All the girls that came to mind neither had the looks nor the motivation.
Yeah.
Too ugly and too unmotivated to work in the adult film industry, or even to seek out that kind of work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, like, there's lots of studies and research over in porn, and it has certain problematic issues with it. But I was also irked by this constant association of if a woman is related to sex in any way other than sexualization, it's considered unladylike. Like, women cannot like sex
mm-hmm.
on their own.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me.
Yeah. It was just a lot.
So the funny thing is, so the game was set in 1999. Mm-hmm. But we could easily say that this same game was set in 2019. And because I kept forgetting that it was 1999. And I was like, this dude is just a hipster. And I'm really hating him right now.
Yeah, cause that part, like, his whole thing, he was very, like, 2019 hipster. But I will guarantee you they chose 1999 so that they could say all kinds of edgy things.
Mm-hmm.
It's also slightly confusing because I also kept forgetting it was in 1990s because they did have, like, very distinct callbacks. Like, they had the dial-up noise whenever you got on the computer, and
mm-hmm.
They still had phones. In every household. So I understood that, but kind of going back to, like, the very subtle sexist and racist things, they had discussions that didn't happen until more recently, and one of them was this discussion over friend zoning. There's two women that you can talk yeah. to randomly in the world, and one is titled Single Female, and every time you you talk to her, she complains about how there are no good guys, and how she'll always be single, and how she doesn't think about you that way. And right next to her is an attractive female, and she says, let's just be friends, okay? And
yeah,
that also annoyed me.
Yeah, dude's just an incel. He is a hipster incel, right? And it's women's fault.
There are so many moments where, like, he says some really creepy things. In fact, at one point, he's mad. This is very early on in the game. He's mad at Michael mad that other people knew about Sammy, who's the stand-in for Elisa, because she was for him only, for his thoughts only. And I was like, what the fuck am I playing? Yeah. I pushed my chair back to the desk. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Who writes that and thinks, this is a good line of dialogue or thought or anything that I'm going to put in my game? Who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
Y'all need right. to call somebody and have them check this shit.
Right. I mean, and it is. It is, you know, it is insert Asian here, right, is what they're playing when you talk about the Simi / Sammy Pock and Elisa Lam, right? It's like, oh, okay, so we're just going to take out Elisa Lam and put in Simi / Sammy Pock and be like, oh, okay, so here we have her over here, and she's just for me, right? It is that exoticizing
yep.
of Asian women. You know, she's just for me, even though she's missing slash dead slash, right? So it becomes even more problematic in a number of ways.
Yeah, and, you know, Jordan, I don't know if you did any reading outside of this.
I read a few interviews.
Yeah, I went through and read a few interviews, too. And there were two things about this that really stuck out to me. The first was where I read that the devs, their mother was ill during the making of this. And I thought, well, maybe I need to cut them some slack. And I tried. I tried. And the other thing was that they had this overriding feeling that people like Elisa disappear. Like, they lose their humanity in the quest for, like, Redditors to solve it. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe then there's some kind of statement here. But you know what? This was, like, some we become what we behold shit, because he never encountered her as a person or saw her as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It was always an opportunity for him.
Yeah.
And I really felt like it was presented as a way for him to balance the fact that he was a total shitbag. And maybe that's the overriding statement of the game. It's not from the ending. But maybe they think that it's the overriding statement of the game. But it, man.
It also bothered me reading the interviews and some of the articles written actually by the devs. In some way, they eventually took this off, like, certain statements and certain Reddit posts, but before people started bringing attention to this issue and, like, getting upset about it, it seemed like they were almost proud of the fact, how they were able to use this story, in quote, to make a creative, narrative.
Yeah.
And that's, one, I don't think that's something you should be bragging about, because, as we're discussing here, lots of issues, but two, ripping from it so
blatantly,
so much, so yeah, mm-hmm. So blatantly does not make a creative narrative.
No, no, it's like, let's pick up this thing and use it.
Yeah,
literally the opposite of creativity.
Yeah,
you can't copy and paste someone's actual death and be like, look what I made. That's not how that works. That's not how any of this works.
But you're edgy when you do shit like that. I mean, and even so, I mean, if we talk about all the racist, sexist, and generally xenophobic shit that goes on in this game.
Oh, God.
Right, even when we, even when you meet some of the other characters, right, because you get a party of, ultimately, what is it, eight?
It's a lot of people.
That go along with you, and you have the ones that you get it's like Claudio and Chandra, is that what her name is?
Mm-hmm. Anime samurai and the hula hooper.
Yeah, the anime samurai and the hula hooper. But one, you get Claudio, who, you know, is dreadlock and owns a record store. And Chandra, who the whole time I was looking, I was like, where are her clothes at? Because, but she too is exoticized in a very specific way, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a black woman who is scantily clad and has that very kind of B-girl vibe going on. Because, you know, 1999. Because then it's okay to do that, right? Because it's 1999.
Right.
And that's what black women look like in 1999.
All of them.
All of them. That's what
everyone.
That's what I looked like in 1999. Right. No, it's not. And, and it's problematic, but then at the same time, Chandra is the one who calls him out and is like, you know, maybe you need to stop trying to be, you know, the white dude who is, you know, trying to make his mark on the oppression of, you know, on the backs of some other folk, which I thought was interesting. Because and you said it to me, and you texted me, and you were like, it's like it had a moment.
Yeah, there was almost a moment where you're like, oh, self-awareness. I can see it on the horizon.
And then it went back to the trash fire. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that we see, like I said, it's interesting that we see games do this because we see other games do it too, right? I mean, it was why I almost burned my PS4 when I was playing Detroit Become Human. when, you know, you try to rip things from the headlines in order to make some kind of statement, but you're not trying to make an actual statement about a thing. Y2K is not trying to make an actual statement about mental illness and people who don't, for whatever reason, get the help that they need, or to tell us, to tell a very specific story of someone, but rather to use it in service of white folks.
Yeah.
And use it very specifically, in this case, in service to a cishet white dude. Right? Because this story, this was not a story of Elisa Lam in any way. It was Elisa Lam being used.
Yes.
As...
like a commodity.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that's the same thing we get with other... that's the same thing we get, like I said, the two choices, the two examples that I gave earlier, right? In Detroit Become Human and in Deus Ex, right? Mm-hmm. Is we commodify the murders of black folks, the abuse of women and children, to further a narrative of someone who's in the majority. And that's a problem.
Like Jordan, I wrote down some specific quotes. I didn't write down the one that you had, but I did write down when they were talking about her name.
Mm-hmm.
I did write down, well, you know, people with weird foreign names try to make them sound normal.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they all look the same, so I can't be certain.
Yeah.
Going off that, there was like a few... part of the gameplay is you actually have to read the comments on this website.
Oh, yes.
Which I get part of it is, like, comments on websites can be very nasty, so there's, like, a level of realism, but was that necessary for this? No. And
not necessary at all.
There was multiple comments on this, and one was about her name. The other one was the unattractive woman. This is homemade. They all look the same. And then another one said, I had my money on her being Chinese. Something smells fishy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know what? Honestly, I would bet that some of those were almost copy-pasted from Reddit discussions about this case.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my gut tells me. But you know what? We don't need to put that in there.
Mm-mm. No.
We know Reddit is a trash fire. Some subreddits are really good. Hashtag not all subreddits. But with shit like this, yes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that websites before that were trash fires. And back in the day, AOL and Prodigy and all that on their message boards, they were trash fires.
Yeah. Absolutely. But
it becomes an excuse for racism, for sexism in this game.
Yeah.
Look what we can get away with.
And that's a funny thing, because I was on social media earlier, and I tweeted this, and it was not about this specifically, but it should have been, could have been, and is now, right? I was like, you know, when you say some racist shit to try to be edgy, that shit don't make you edgy. It just makes you racist.
It does.
And that's also what we get here. No, that's okay. That's what we get here. Go ahead, Jordan. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. And just the overall narrative didn't come off as, like,
a specific critique to me because it was just so ham-fisted and so in your face. What? It just was not sarcastic. It was not funny, which apparently was part of their aim. And part of the issue, like you said, is like they aren't trying to make a statement about it. They just take these comments, put it in there to be absorbed by these players, and while some would argue, hey, that's what happened, and we shouldn't necessarily ignore what happened, there's also there's very little discussion or like pushback against these comments. There's maybe like one or two threads on this website in the game that say, hey, that's not cool, maybe you shouldn't say that. And they're very easy to miss, and the actual characters in the game don't respond to this dialogue at all.
Mm-hmm. I feel like so much of this was like, we're gonna put a bunch of stuff in here because, hey, that's what could happen, and that's postmodern. And I'm like, the whole time I'm playing this game, and I'm muttering to myself, and I even wrote it in my notes twice on two different occasions, postmodernism is just not whatever random shit you thought of at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And it's not just, oh, it's so ironic, or let's just reject the idea of narrative. Because first of all, the game doesn't reject the idea of narrative. And it doesn't reject the idea of reason or ideology either, because that's the whole thing they chase the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's hipster racism, though. And that's exactly what it is, right? I mean, that's why I said I had so much trouble while I was playing this game remembering that this was supposed to be set in 1999, because it feels like 2019 hipsters, right? Where, you know, everything's ironic, right? So, yeah, right. we can be ironically racist, because then it's a critique of racism. No, that's hipster racism, and that shit is still racism.
Still racism, yes. I feel like they took the Wikipedia page for postmodernism and used it like a checklist. Okay, so if it's self-referential, that's postmodern, right? So if they talk about the fact that they're talking about this stuff...
Yeah. You have these that's Alex's inner monologues.
Right, that's the whole thing. Except they're not inner monologues. They're external monologues, but that's a later thing.
Right.
They're like, if we use the word epistemology, then it's postmodern. Like, no. Y'all, no. And I don't know, I just got mad. I got mad a lot. I was mad the whole time. I felt bad. I was like, I'm sorry I suggested this.
But yeah, it just came across as confusing and pretentious.
And so many times, there are two things about Alex that really made me extra angry. Okay, so even if we get past, like, the sexism and the racism and just in general, like, aggressive white dudery.
Yeah.
There were two things. Like, first of all, he would be like, I was just so desperate to find her. And then it would be like 2 weeks later, I'm like, were you just chilling at home? Yeah. Oh, I haven't talked to anybody in 8 days. Why not?
I thought you were desperate to find her.
Were you just sitting in your room jerking off? Like, what were you doing? You wanted this. You wanted to be a hero. Like, do something. There were so many of these just lengthy pauses, right? Where just time had passed, and that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me really upset. But the other thing was this, like, punctuated undertone of everything centering on Alex himself. Like, Rory is so upset because of what happened to him. And I'm not going to spoil his story because, A, it's triggering, and B, it's a thing mm-hmm. in the game. But he's, like, really upset about some big stuff. And he's talking to one of the other characters, and Alex, like, literally interrupts him. And he's like, but what about me? And my needs. And then so many times, like, stuff is going on, and he's like, I don't know, maybe I should just hit on Vella. And like, dude, this whole narrative, this everything that's going on, or if I could just find Sammy, I just feel like we really had a connection. Motherfucker, no, sit down. I know this is about you because you're the protagonist, but it's not all about you.
And making an unlikable character at the beginning of a narrative so that they can, like, grow or become more likable, that's actually hard to do.
and this game doesn't pull it off well.
It does not.
Because you can't just throw an unlikable character in there with certain things and not actually have a conversation about those things.
No. And I finally stopped playing for reasons we'll talk about, I'm sure, when we get to talking about the interface and the gameplay.
Yes.
But I watched, and I don't usually do this, but I wanted to make sure that I was correct. I watched the rest of the game, and the whole time I'm still just sitting here, like, pushed back from my desk, leaned back, kind of one eyeballing, thinking, he thinks he's having some kind of spiritual awakening here, and he's got, like, realizations that he's been an asshole, and yet, you know what? He's still an asshole.
Yes. I mean, and that's... yeah, we have to get to the... We have to get to the... The mechanical issues.
Oof. Oh, wait. Can I talk about one last thing?
Well, yes. Yes, definitely.
It's in the pause menu and... So this is, it does have traditional RPG elements, where you can, like, go to the pause menu and equip certain items, and one of them is a description of the characters, and, I mean, there was multiple moments like this throughout the game, but one of the most blatant, like, in-your-face moments to me that there was a certain demographic of people that made this game was yes. When you hover over Alex's character, and each character has their own description, and Alex's character is... He's just like you. He's just another ordinary character like you. And I'm like, no.
No?
He is not like me in so many ways. And even less like other people who are probably playing this game. And it's not... The description isn't made just as like a, oh, yeah, we just needed to describe him. It's like the rest of the game. Story. It's like lazily thought through.
Yeah, that's actually part of the story. I never noticed that. Now I kind of want to boot it back up and see what all the other descriptions were.
Yeah.
But that's a good segue, because let me talk to you about that interface.
Yeah. Okay, we got to talk about the interface, but we got to come back and we got to talk about the hipster, not only the hipster connection to music, but the music that got used in the game too.
Well, let's talk about all these things.
Yes.
Let's talk about the gameplay and the interface, because Sam, you played it on the Switch, right?
I did.
And Jordan, you played it
on the PS4.
And I played it on my Mac. So we have three different. I played it through Steam. We have three different experiences, and I'm real jealous of everyone else because my shit did not work. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I watched some of those videos. So it said in-game, like, oh, to open the menu, it's F2. And I'm like, cool, let me hit F2. Mm-mm. Turns out it was actually F16. Except sometimes it was F17, and occasionally it was F18. And sometimes F17 would send, like, my panda or my cat or, like, whatever, you know, across the screen. But sometimes it would open the menu. And so I was always like, I don't know, I'm going to hit one of these and see what happens. Oh, not that one this time. Oh, let's try this one. Okay, this one works. So that shit didn't work. My combat menu was just a little bit to the left of my screen. So the very edge was like hanging off. The first two letters of everything that was said during combat, I couldn't read. So I just had to extrapolate. And I don't know what it was with Michael, but I could not hit a fucking thing with him. In 7 hours, I think I succeeded on 2 attacks. Everything else was, Michael hits for 0. Michael messed up. And, I mean, I'm not bad at this. I have played many a quick time clicky game, an event in my life. I can hit a button. And I would hit it, like, square, in the middle, on the side, to the left, to the right. I tried everything. I was like, where's the sweet spot? There's not one.
So you had issues with the combat.
Oh, God.
Interface. I had issues with just the regular game interface, right? It's funny because it took me twice as long, at least, to play the game as everybody else, because to get the same distance through the narrative as everyone else. Because what would happen is you would come up, so A was the action button on the Switch, right? Mm-hmm. So you would walk up to a thing, and then in the bottom right corner, it would say interact A or enter A or what, or, you know, whatever, examine A, right? All these mm-hmm. different phrases that would be your action button. And so I would hit A and nothing would happen. And then I would hit A again and nothing would happen. And then when I hit A a third time, if I was super lucky, it would trigger. Mm. And I thought, I was like, well, maybe it's me. Maybe my Switch is going bad. I charged my Switch again to make sure my Joy-Cons were charged. I took them off, put them back on to make sure they were, synced. But then after talking to you two about your issues with, right, the game and the, and.
Don't,
excuse me, I'm trying not to. The game and the mechanics, I'm thinking it was the game and it was driving me batty. Because I was like screaming at the game. I'm like, I'm just going to stop playing this game. But then I was at the same time, I was like, but we got to talk about this game, so I have to play this game. And I was cursing Alicia's name.
That's fair.
I was like, I don't believe this. But so, I mean, I had some real issues with, like I said, not only that, but also with the tools. Right, that's what they called them, right? The panda and the cat and stuff were tools that you could use to solve puzzles, like trigger things, hit switches from afar, that kind of stuff. That sometimes I would have it aimed in a specific direction. Sometimes it would go where it was supposed to, sometimes it wouldn't. So it was just
sometimes it was really hard to aim the cat specifically.
Because I think it's because he was smaller.
I think it was, for me, because I was on the keyboard and I just couldn't turn at the right angle.
Mm-hmm. See, well, because I was on the Switch, so I would just use the left joystick to aim him and then, like, fire him over where he was supposed to be. Or theoretically fire him where he was supposed to be, but mm-hmm. he was not always going along that kind of visual trajectory line that he was supposed to be going.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's interesting because you had problems on the Mac through Steam. I had some issues on the Switch. Now, Jordan, you tried to play it on the PC through Steam and it was just broken. It wouldn't even like start. For you.
They patched that. I had the same problem. They patched that same day.
Okay.
But I'm glad I switched to PS4, because even though it still had its problems, I think it was the most smooth.
Yeah, I'm jealous of you.
I did have issues with, and this is not pertaining to like a specific console, but there are so many menus. There are so many times you have to reiterate your choice. Like, there's a second menu, like, are you sure about this?
Yes.
Like, overall, yes. It would have been faster to not put, for to allow me to mess up once or twice, like, oh, I didn't mean to walk through that door or something, rather than have that pop up every single time.
Saving.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Save? Are you sure you want to save? Are you absolutely sure you want to save? Choose your spot.
Do you want to save here?
Yeah, you're like, do you want to save here? Okay, now verify you want to save here, and then you click again. Thank you for saving, and then you have to click again. So it was literally like 8 clicks to save.
Yeah, and then buying items was a nightmare. Yes. And if you bought something and you had to re-exit and go back in,
leveling up system was so stupid, and I couldn't figure it out at first because I just kept going over there. It wasn't explained. Yeah, I kept going over there, and the bird was like, well, you can't be bothered. You want me to just choose for you? And I'm like, motherfucker, I chose. But then you have to choose and then also open the door so that you can get the thing that you chose. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Who? Y'all need to call somebody. Specifically, y'all need to call a UX professional because y'all do not have these skills.
It was just so frustrating, and it slowed the game down so much, and it was unnecessary.
And I know that some of those choices are choices that we lived with during the JRPGs of our youth. But you know what? The world has moved on.
So, okay, so this is, but here's the thing. This game felt like it was trying to, it felt like a Walmart Persona game.
Walmart Persona.
Felt like a Walmart Persona game. But then at the same time, Persona is so much more smooth. So if you're going to try to copy Persona in graphic style, because have either of you played Persona games before?
No, I haven't. Watched.
Okay, so it felt like it was trying to be Persona between the graphic style and the use of like alternate universes or alternate planes and these mysteries and trying to solve these mysteries and even like all these different things, right? Like in terms of the use of food very specifically in ways, like all the things that you get in Persona games, you don't get that same experience, right? It is not that same dragging that you get in this. I mean, and the music too, right? We got to talk about the music, right? So it was very hipster, right? Because I mean,
very like at times, very like soft indie rock, where in that way that like everything that they're actually singing about is really depressing and dire, but the music's super peppy.
Except hard rock, that's what cures racism.
Right. No, it's metal.
Heavy metal.
Poverty, racism, everything
and
else.
Sexism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it was. Heavy metal. You're right. Yeah. I apologize. I stand corrected. And Alex with his little album, like vinyl attack. Mm-hmm. Okay. I swear, my timing is not that bad. But once again, when you have to do that click on interface is not working to hit a spot on an album to do an attack, my attacks were always short. I'm not that bad at video games. I mean, I'm pretty bad at video games sometimes. I'm not that bad at video games. And I had to go back and like look at a YouTube video because nobody else heard this when we were talking before the podcast. And I was like, and I never want to see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory ever again. And they were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we were very confused.
That whole first chapter, once he goes into the alternate space, is the Willy Wonka theme song from the original Willy Wonka movie.
I think at that point I might have had the sound turned down. I don't remember.
And I was like, why? Because, and it's interesting because it's the song that sings about imagination, right? And I'm like, so why would you use a song that talks specifically about imagination and this kind of mental quirkiness when you are specifically in the chapter dealing with the disappearance of a mentally ill woman? Right?
Well, because there's many reasons, but then we start to get into spoilers. None of them are good.
Right. We don't want spoilers. But it just infuriated me for a number of reasons. Right? Because it trivializes... If we talk about the source content, right? It trivializes Elisa Lam's story in so many ways. And I was just pissed the entire time. I was just pissed. I mean, people come in the room and I'd be sitting there like fussing to myself. And she was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's this game. She was like, why are you still playing it? And was like,
oh, my child and I had that same conversation. It's like, man, you hate it. Why are you playing it? I'm like, well, that's a story.
Hashtag blame Alicia. Yeah. So yeah, I can. Willy Wonka has been spoiled for me forever. Well, Willy Wonka has its own issues, but it's definitely been spoiled for me forever. Thanks to this game, the music.
Yeah, that was my fault. I'm sorry.
But also, like, talking about Alex's, like, vinyl attacks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I read in an interview specifically, I don't know who they tested this with because they did not specify, but they said in order to help balance the game, they found that completing the game as a whole took way too long because every battle was slightly longer than your normal RPG encounter because of all the mini-games.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of critiquing the mini-games and trying to balance those, because I kind of actually liked the idea a little bit of each character having their own special attack. I liked the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to balance that, they just put less encounters in the game. They did not try to test the mini-games or balance the mini-games. They're just like, no, we're going to keep them as is and just get rid of more battles.
I was so frustrated. That was one of the reasons why I just finally stopped playing. The combat took, especially because of my issues with Michael, combat took so long. Nobody was doing very good damage. It took me forever, too, to figure out, like, oh, you can click multiple times on Alex's attack to get the combos, because that wasn't in the game either.
The game doesn't explain a lot of things.
Yeah, no, it doesn't explain a lot of things. And because at the beginning, at the very beginning of the game for me, and maybe this happened to you when you tried it on PC too, Jordan, it says choose your control scheme, but it doesn't tell you which buttons to hit. Do you know how long it took me to discover that K was the confirm?
Yeah, so I actually had to delete it because it was on the PlayStation controls first, and I was on keyboard, and I was like, I don't, what? What?
Yeah,
I was hitting enter and space,
button.
And...
Yeah, I happened on it accidentally. And I was like, oh, was there somewhere in here? And then on the next question, I had to try every button in, like, that little square. Until I was like, okay, it's the K that's confirmed. And I should have realized at that point that I needed to go play it on a different system. Because there was just no way to know what the fuck you were doing. It's so many times in this game.
Yeah, but the thing is that I played it on another system. And you just had a different series of problems. On other systems, right? It's like, oh, so we can fix these things that were horribly broken and got us such poor rating on Steam when we ported it over to here, but there's all kinds of stuff that either didn't get fixed or broke in the process. 'Cause I don't know if it's lack of due diligence or what, but...
They didn't call somebody.
They didn't call it Black Free. They didn't call their Black friend. They didn't call their Korean friend.
They for sure did not call their Korean friend.
Because Semi-Pak was supposed to be Korean. So, they didn't call their Korean friend. They didn't call nobody. Nobody. Female friends.
I also just didn't understand a lot of the... We've talked about this a little bit, but I didn't understand certain responses or motivations to things. And one point in the beginning of the game, Alex actually calls the boss of where Sammy used to work and asks, what's your take on this? What happened that day?
Mm-hmm.
And the boss gives a very straightforward response. He said, she wasn't feeling well or something. I gave her the day off. And Alex's response to that was, gee, wow, that was real helpful. What an asshole.
Yeah.
I was like, that came out of left field. Like, what?
Right.
That was a very distinct response. Like, if that's actually what happened, there is not much else you can say on that topic.
Yeah, it was.
But it wasn't helpful to him, see, in his hero's quest. So, it becomes a problem. And like I said, it just goes back to marginalized and oppressed people being used in the service of furthering a narrative for cis-het white folks. that is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. And we just, we didn't even talk about the ginger joke, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that made me want to hurt somebody, right? I mean, and that was early on too. And that was, you know, that, like I said, when there were so many problems early on, when we first, in that first chapter, I almost didn't get out of the first chapter of the game because there were so many issues. And Simi says something like, I've always had a thing or soft spot for gingers or something like that, right? Is that the way she puts it?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, you can't use that word. That word's for us. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, it's a lame joke. I was like, so you making a joke about whether or not black folks can use the N-word is edgelord humor, is what you're saying at this point. This game had so many attempts at that edgelord humor that just showed the racist underbelly. Mm-hmm. That it was painful. It was painful. And this is the kind of stuff that is the shortcuts that folk don't need to be taking.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. We said we were gonna make this fast because it's Alicia's birthday.
Well, we have stuff to say. I might not be done.
All right, what you got to say? It's your birthday. You can say whatever you want to.
Did y'all notice that a lot of the female characters, unless they were looking at Alex with anger, did not close their mouths in their character portraits?
No. I didn't pay attention to that.
The men did. But Bella and Chandra and a couple of other times that I noticed, like, I don't think y'all got there. The robot does. A lot of the women, when they were just standing there listening or whatever, had their mouths open. And that is something that bothers me so much when it happens in character portraits and character art. Because it's such a low-key way of sexualizing people. And
yeah.
The other thing is, did y'all feel like the mom was a little bit sexualized?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about every woman in some way was just there again in service to Alex in some way. Right, like just waiting. I said this while we were podcasting or when I was raging beforehand that, you know, Alex is an incel. He is just a hipster incel.
I'm just going to go ahead and pour one out for you now in your Twitter mentions.
Oh my God.
People who are going to come for you over this remark.
Why?
Just, you talk to me after this episode comes out. Let me know how your Twitter's been. It's going to be like, that's our word.
Oh my God.
Ugh.
Our word. Well, just like gingers, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I feel about the same way about that. I feel about the same way about that.
Maybe I've said enough. The endings, there's two endings. I have a lot of feelings about those, but I don't know.
But
at that point, I mean, there's no way I was going to get there. playing this game because it's supposed to take about 17 hours. The way combat goes for me, it's probably going to take me like 34, and I'm not putting 34 hours of my life into this.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather die.
Yeah, I mean, it would take a long time when you start talking about the issues with the interface itself. It takes a lot longer than, well, you know what? Who knows? Maybe that 17 hours is with the brokenness.
I'm not going to deal with it. And you know what? I feel like they could have made like 5 or 6 changes and it would have left all the problems, but it would have really streamlined this gameplay. Like the menus that Jordan talked about, take away about half those menus.
Mm-hmm.
Make the attack something more like you click your little turn-based button and the thing happens or doesn't or whatever, and you move on.
I mean, because it feels that's the thing, right? Is that the combat was doubled up, right? So it was first, you know, the select attack, just like you do in usual JRPG turn-based attacks. But then you had to do the little quick time eventy thing on top of that.
God forbid you try to run away.
Right. So you had to do both, right? So it made combat take twice as long. Mm-hmm. And that was frustrating as all get out.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I suggested this. I will pay my penance.
Well, good news is we don't have to play it after this, and we know we wouldn't have stumbled upon it accidentally later.
That's true. We're done. We know that we don't want to play that thing.
And the funny thing is that I had just kind of seen like quick mention of it, and it was like, a postmodern RPG in the style of Persona. And I was like, I wonder how they did with that. I wonder, you know, and I was like, I hadn't wondered hard enough to like actually spend my money before now. But I was wondering, and I was like, maybe I'll see somebody play it one day. But no, I got to experience it firsthand, thanks to Alicia.
Well, at least we were able to supply some informed criticism.
Yes. Yes, we were.
The last thing I want to talk about is Vella. And I'm going to put the biggest air quotes around this as I can. Woman-splaining metaphysics to Alex. And she goes through this whole thing and he's like, well, actually, I knew the definition, but I wanted to understand how you were using it. I was like, this is one of those times when a motherfucker wants to low-key do something that's like, see, they do it to us.
I know.
And I was just like, I'm going to put this in my notes. My little Evernote is like bursting. Let me just put this in my notes. Vella, woman splains metaphysics. To Alex, who had considered himself somewhat of a philosopher in college.
Oh. Yeah. And, I mean, part of it definitely was, like, a portray of, like, woman's brain, but also his question was, what, in your opinion, like, is happening and this means? And she's actually explaining what she means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I knew what that meant. And I'm like,
but that's what you asked.
But you just asked. That's yeah.
Like, she's explaining what she knows about it. You ask, what do you know about this? And she is explaining her experience with it.
This game just felt like sitting down and talking with some, like, just bitter-ass man.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, settle down. And then I feel bad because they're like, we were going through some shit. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry. I am sorry that you went through some shit. And that sucks for you. This is real bad. Please do better.
Please do better. I mean, it's no excuse for this kind of... That is no excuse. No matter what you are going through, it's no excuse for the kind of racism, sexism, and kind of blatant in general xenophobia we see in this game. That's not okay.
We got Walmart persona out of this podcast.
We did get Walmart persona.
I feel like that was a success. Oh. Y'all, somebody gave this game a 1 on Metacritic. I don't think I've ever seen that in my life on a game I've played.
See, once you said you wanted to play it, I was like skipping the reviews. I didn't want to be influenced in any way. And then when it was time for us to, I was like, I'm gonna go back and look. And I was like looking, and I was like, oh, see, if we'd have read this first, I would have been like, Alicia, no, we're not playing this game.
I didn't expect. I just didn't. When I read the stuff about how they were using the incident, I did not expect it to be the inciting incident and, like,
so integral to the
story. Yeah, I really didn't expect that to be the seed of his, like, entire hero's journey.
Yeah. Well, it was.
I mean, so I'm sitting here and I'm reading these articles, and I remember because I went to the writing center right after, and I had my regular appointment with Rachel, and I told her about it while we were working on something else. I was like, man, I was just reading this stuff, and like, this just sounds so terrible that they would use this as part of the game. And then I like promptly forgot about it through the rest of my day, and then I came across something else, and I thought, oh, it's part of this game, but I didn't realize it was the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, oh, man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Yeah. I'm mad that I took hours away from playing Kingdom Hearts 3 to play this game.
Well, I don't play Kingdom Hearts, so I didn't have that problem.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is so good. Well, I like this game.
I want to say one last, like, final thing. Not about this game, but, like, when people make stuff, anything, no matter how good or bad you are at it, no matter how much time you, like, it means something to you. And they made this, and this meant something to them. And part of me wants to say, like, something that honors that. Like, you worked on it for years. And you really thought that you were doing something, like, important and meaningful. And I get that. And I respect your effort. But, man, y'all got to call somebody.
Due diligence.
Yeah. And for the price point on this game, there's too many issues on all sides.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause, and hold on a second. I want to check something. So, this game first came out on Steam and... Didn't this first come out on Steam and PS4?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it didn't.
I'm rage tired now.
I know. So, it came out on Steam on January 17th. I feel like it came out somewhere else earlier.
It was out in early, like, early access or early release.
Okay. Is that what it was?
Something like that. Or, like, there was an extended demo. And it was, like, a year ago or something.
It's been a while. They had time.
This has been in development for years.
They had time to fix their shit. And that's the problem.
I mean, from what I saw, there are people who are actively out there standing for this shit. It's not that bad. Well, which part?
Which part is not that bad?
Yeah, the shit that don't work, the cringy dialogue, all the fucking racism and sexism?
Yeah. What part's not that bad?
Part's not that bad, yeah.
It's frustrating because a lot of the comments that I see, everybody expects there to be some big blatant event, and
while Lisa Lam's portrayal in this is one, like, the racism and sexism and xenophobia is very subtle everyday stuff that happens to the people that it occurs to, so it hits home very hard. It's not, oh, I hate people of color, I hate women. It comes across in these very subtle yet very detrimental ways.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
You know, and this week, with what happened in Chicago, man, I hate to bring it up. Right, but when you have an incident in which a well-known actor is attacked in a racist and homophobic incident, and all the media is like falling all over themselves. You got attackers wearing Make America Great Again hats, trying to lynch this young man, pouring bleach on him, and they're like, a homophobic attack. Alleged racist. No. Even when it's like open, blatant, like textbook shit, even then everybody's like, well, they're not burning crosses on the lawn while dressed as the Klan, so I don't know. It might be racism, it might not. So stuff like this, it might be that just no one noticed. Or no one thought it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It's, after reading that story this morning, that is a very specific thought I had, and I don't know what it is, I don't know why it is, but when there is a padding of certain history there to detach yourself from blame or guilt, there seems to be a certain level of acceptance. Yeah. So, while Nazi sympathizers are still around, a lot of people, if they see you wearing that symbol, are like, that's not okay, that's bad, that stands for racism and hatred. But if something like this happens, and they're wearing MAGA hats, which is a symbol of racism, sexism, xenophobia, all that stuff, people are like, well, no, maybe it's not, it's just a hat. But it's the same dialogue, it's the same idea, it's just we don't have this padding of years and years of history to detach yourself from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same thing. People do that shit all the time, right? That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that. It didn't used to mean that. It's just been reapproached. Well, you know what? If it didn't, even though it didn't used to mean that, if it's been reappropriated and it means that now, guess what? It means that now. It means that.
Yeah.
Can't say it's okay because it didn't used to mean that. Right. I mean, you got people all the time on the interwebs. Right. And that goes back to this kind of the kind of ironic racism. Right. That hipster mentality, that hipster racism. Right. Well, you know, well, Pepe the Frog didn't used to be a racist symbol. Right. And that hand symbol used to be something different. It didn't used to mean white power. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. Sorry to tell you. It means that now. And if you want to throw a white power symbol because you want to be fucking edgy just to see if you can quote unquote trigger some snowflake, then you're a fucking racist. No other way to get around that.
Yep.
Pepe the Frog is racist. You want to use it because because it's edgy and somebody else might get triggered and you think triggering somebody is funny. Not only are you a racist, but you're an asshole.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I mean, and that's the thing. You got to think about it.
And I think that's what didn't happen with some of this stuff in this game. And I am, maybe I'm a softie on the inside.
But
I'm a little sad to think that these men poured years into this game, only to discover, like, oops, we're completely unaware, not doing the work that we need to do, whatever you want to call it. however you want to frame it. But I think that this kind of game needs to be a teachable moment for other people. A moment of learning that this kind of blatant, aggressive exploitation, not only of Elisa Lam, but exploiting racist themes, sexist themes, xenophobic themes, troubling, problematic shit, and it's okay because it's the 90s or because it's postmodern, like, it's not okay. And it means you're going to pour your fucking years of work down the toilet. So y'all need to call somebody. You need to pay attention. You need to do your work. You need to do your due diligence.
But see, you're making the assumption it wasn't intentional.
Maybe it was.
And I don't know that anybody could be that clueless on so many different levels. You can't be that clueless about absolutely everything that goes on in this game.
I don't know if I would say... See, I think there might be elements of, like, they knew, but maybe thought it would be okay because. It's okay because. The same kind of shit. People are like, well, it's just a hat. It's okay because. But that's where we are right now. People need to get past that. It's okay because it was the 90s. It's okay because it's postmodern and we're self-aware. It's okay because it's hipster racism.
But that's looking for an excuse to be racist.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think people are hung up in that space. And they need to get out of that space.
It's still racist.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm not cutting people slack on racism. I mean, and I, like you said, maybe you were softy, but I'm not cutting people slack. I mean,
it doesn't hit me in the same way, right? So I have the privilege to be the softy here. I agree with you, and I think it's unacceptable, whatever the reason is.
Yeah,
whatever's going on here is unacceptable, and that should be the teachable moment here. Is that this shit can't happen?
I think a big misunderstanding is that people simply think that if they have it, if they represent it, they're bringing attention to the issue, and that's not the case. People need to stop thinking that way, because there are ways that you represent it. It's how you put it in the game that also matter, and I think that's one of the biggest problems with this game and with other games that try to, quote-unquote, be edgy or try to be satirical with these issues. It's like, you can be satirical about these issues if you have a certain degree of conversation with it and awareness that teaches people who are experiencing this that may not be aware of these issues. Otherwise, you are just perpetuating
exactly
yeah.
the idea.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
It just perpetuates and supports. But and
yes,
like, I've been sick all week, and I'm fucking tired. I'm not tired because I've been sick. I'm tired because I am an almost 50-year-old black woman living in the United States.
I don't know how you don't with people every day.
But I have no patience for that, right? I have no patience for it. I make no excuses for it, right? I refuse. I want to just... I don't see that. I don't see these kinds of rhetorical attacks. And I'm going to call them rhetorical attacks, right? Any differently than I see any other kind of racist rhetorical attack.
I think that's fair.
See, Rosie agrees.
And I have a feeling that these dudes looked at their work and said, well, we have this one point where Chandra calls Alex white supremacist, basically, so that means it's all okay, right? Because we called it out. And I think that's the same kind of thing you were talking about, Jordan, is this kind of stuff is, like, put in as, like, a hedge against it. Bella calls Alex out, too, and says, just stop talking about race, because you're awkward when you do it. But it falls short. Right, she doesn't go as far as calling it white supremacy, which is basically what Chandra does.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet that they probably said, "Look at us, We're so woke.
Okay. Uh-oh. I'm about to get myself in trouble.
Mm-mm. Do it.
I'm going to lean real close to the mic because I want y'all all to listen. One, woke is a process, not a state of being. Two, if you white, I want you to do yourself a favor.
I agree. Listen? I know what's coming and I agree. It makes me mad. Go ahead.
Don't you ever call yourself woke because you can't be.
I agree with this. I get real frowny every time a white person wants to tell me how woke they are. I'm like, I'm going to need you to back that one up a few miles. Let's just walk it back.
Miles. Not feet, not steps.
Miles.
Miles. Ooh, Lordy.
Because we don't know. And that's, I mean, no matter how much you try to be an ally, and so many people try, we try, there's going to be places where you fuck up big time. And so if you just do a little thing and be like, well, that's it, that's done, now I'm an ally, you're not.
No. Mm-mm. Don't come looking for cookies, because we ain't got no ally cookies. And if I see anybody else passing out ally cookies, I'm slapping them out your hand. All going around. Put the cookies down. Put the cookies down. We ain't giving out cookies. Not today, not no day.
And you know, maybe I'm wrong about this. And maybe I am extrapolating something from these moments in the game that are not there. But I've seen too many discussions on, like, the Steam discussion and Reddit and other places where they're like, well, but they ask you about your gender identity, so that means it's PC. Like, motherfucker, no.
They still offer you a binary.
Yeah.
And a very specific binary very to specific. Choose.
I've got that in my notes, too. I was like, these are some normative-ass bodies.
Yes. Yes. Are you this unrealistic normative body type or this unrealistic normative body type?
It asked me that. It was like, which one are you? And I'm like, well,
Neither.
But
I click on the middle. Yeah, like,
I tried to click on the middle. I was like, no. I thought I was like, maybe they are being edgy, and there is that space, that liminal space. You can know.
I'm surprised there wasn't a goddamn attack helicopter silhouette.
Oh my god! Do you know how mad that makes me when people say that stupid shit? I don't care if you're an attack helicopter. You know what that shit is? Let me tell you what that is.
Mm-hmm.
We call that transphobic.
Yeah.
So if you ever said that shit before, don't say it again. And I want you to call everybody who heard you say it and apologize.
I'm sorry.
I also saw in the comments some people are like, well, it's an indie game, they have limitations, and I'm like, if they have time to put that many menus in the game, they have time to put more options at the beginning.
You say, take out some of those damn menus.
Read the motherfuckers all the way to filth on that. Ooh. If you had time for that many menus. All right. I think that's a good place to stop.
That is. I'm going to be giggling about that one.
I know. That was the mic drop. All right. We didn't like this game.
We're going to call this Alicia's birthday present, y'all. She got everybody hating on something as much as she hates everything.
Oh, my God. That is what happened, isn't it? I engineered a podcast in which we're all angry. I didn't even mean to. I just didn't want to be alone for once, right? This is the hater cast now.
Oh my.
Sometime we'll splinter off, make my own podcast. It's just going to be Hater Cast.
And I will listen to it and giggle.
It's just 15 minutes of me swearing creatively about a different topic every week. And we're done.
Oh my gosh. All right, y'all. So I guess that will bring us to the end of episode, what was that, 180? No.
Six. Whew. 14 more until 200.
There we go. So until next time, when we have episode 187. Yes, Rose. Man. Y'all, it's the polar vortex. Stay warm. Stay in the damn house. And don't play this game. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. We will see you next time for episode 187. In all seriousness, stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. And most importantly, y'all, game on. We'll be right back.